If you freaking don't want to fight, then you freaking might as well stop right now. Are you going to stop fighting? You're behind in this fight. Damn it. Take this. You're behind in this fight. You're not listening. You got 12 minutes left. That's 4 rounds. What you do in the next 12 minutes, you're going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Your little son, he's not going to be told that his son beat Holyfield. He's going to be told he beat thoughts to a guy named Bolter. Who was brought up with no talent. You understand? Anything you feel, he's feeling the same, but worse. You're just not digging. You hear me? And you can't talk about all the things you talk about if you don't perform. Now listen, do you want to live with that the rest of your life?
No.
Michael, it's going to happen. You got 12 minutes. You're behind. You understand? It's going to start here.
Yes, yes, I'm being mocked by my co-host.
Yes,
trying to play me out.
Try to play me out like as if my name was.
Sega. See, that's what you get for playing games.
God damn.
What are you drinking?
God, a little seltzer. Mm-hmm. A little seltzer. Oh, yo. This is episode 70.
Yes, it is.
All right, number 70. You guys,
are you going to do my intro? Or you,
oh yeah, my bad.
A real sick maniac, rude, mocking me.
This is slander and defamation.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Knock 'Em Out the Box, episode 70. My name is Vinny Paz. You're listening to my rude, slandering, libelous co-host, Mr. Brendan Long,
with the co-most kid.
Yep, my co-host with the co-most. The left, right, left kid.
Episode 70.
Yes. You're very...
Yo, I'm happy to be alive, man. I had a near-death experience today.
What happened?
No bullshit. You want to hear some old wild shit?
Sure.
I was driving, as I do, for work. And I was in... You know those little... when you go to, like, the corner store, they got, like, the little breads. You get, like... banana nut bread, pound cake.
Yeah, of course.
So I like the banana nut bread with my coffee.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I'm whacking down some banana nut bread.
Yeah, you like nuts.
Hey, yo. Mm-hmm. sucking down a coffee. Mm-hmm. And, yo, I breathed in and the walnut that was in the banana nut bread, shit. I aspirated it.
You choked on nuts.
I choked on some nuts this morning. I had to pull the fucking car over. I swear to God.
And give
myself the Heimlich maneuver on the side of the road. I ran stomach first into my side view mirror to get the thing out. I was going to tap.
What a nitwit.
Yo, that's what I thought to myself. Yo, if I die.
If that's how you went out, you better pray that I'm a good enough friend to lie about what happened.
If I go out choking on nuts, I said, these dudes are never going to fucking let my family live it down.
My eulogy.
I like this story. I like this story a lot.
My eulogy would have been read by one of you two fucking Philadelphia mushmouth motherfuckers. Like, yeah, this fucking piece of shit went out choking on nuts.
Look, that's you almost cracked today. I wouldn't make jokes because if it happens again, that's it.
I almost tapped out. That was it. There was going to be no show tonight. Or you would have had to go dolo. And right. It wouldn't even have been somber, though, because you would have been like, guys, we lost Brendan. He choked on nuts.
That's what would have talked about that the whole time.
The nuts.
Yeah.
Can you fucking believe that shit? Like, I was like... You know, like you try to like, you know, like something goes down the wrong pipe and you're like, this shit is like, I had to like calm myself down, pull. I was going 75 miles an hour. I had to pull a car over, get out. And I'm like, this won't come out. What do I do?
I can't calm myself in those situations. If anything, I go with the worst panic mode.
You would have just died?
Probably.
I said, never mind my kids.
Right.
This would be my legacy.
Right.
Knock them out the box and the knockies would know that I died choking on nuts.
Exactly. And I would have.
So I lived.
Sure.
For you.
That's right.
And Billy.
That's right.
What do you think, Bill?
Thank you. Thanks for living.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. So listen, guys, rate, listen, and like the show, because, you know, I might not be here next week.
He might, tomorrow morning, he might eat the same thing and go out.
That's what I'm saying. By the way, I am about to get the same thing tomorrow. Them banana nut bread joints are.
That's what I'm saying. They are. Let's get into some news then. Tim Zhu will now face Sebastian Fundora for the WBO and vacant WBC super welterweight world titles on March 30th in Las Vegas, as Keith Thurman has been ruled out due to injury.
Do they say what the injury was?
Not as of now. Show remains on Amazon Prime Video pay-per-view in USA with Rolly Romero versus Isaac Cruz on the undercard. Before we get into anything regarding the fights, I just want to say / ask you, I have not seen, we're 2 weeks out. I have not seen anything or heard a fucking peep in regards to promotion, in regards to a commercial, in regards to an advertisement or advertisement, as our UK friends like to say.
It's an advertisement.
I have seen Ugats. Nada. Nothing. I have to be reminded by this.
That this is happening.
That this is happening.
And now it's not.
And Tim Zhu is one of our guys. All right. So quickly answer. Have you seen any promotion leading up to this?
Nope. And I forgot about it until I was leaving that place I go to watch fights last week. And they had the fight poster up. And my wife pointed to it and went, are you going to go to this? And I went, oh, shit. I guess so. That's it. I haven't seen shit. Do you believe Keith Queef Thurman's hurt?
No.
Cool Queef?
No.
I don't either.
There is another update about someone else later on in the notes, and I don't believe them either. I don't believe it.
Can I say one thing?
And yeah, I want to say one thing too. But
I saved it for the show. I was going to tweet it, and I saved it for you. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of excited I don't have to listen to Keith Thurman try to cut promos and talk shit at press conferences for the next 2 weeks.
Okay, mine
is so awful.
Mine is similar. My point is similar. It's equally about the him being a boob and I don't want to listen to him. But realistically, to me, despite being knocked out in a war against Lubin, I think Sebastian Fundora, as of March 30th, 2024, is the better fight for Tim Zhu.
Agreed.
Fans.
Go ahead.
Erickson Lubin turned this fight down, if you want to know.
Yeah, he did.
Which led to us getting Keith Thurman. So all of the... I've talked multiple times about on this show how I held Erickson Lubin in very high regard until Charlo knocked him out. And then I felt like, okay, well, losses, you can come back from them. Nobody leaves this sport undefeated, you know?
Yeah.
So I was still high on him. And, you know, Sebastian Fundora dropped him, and I thought, here we go again. This guy's chinny. This is the end. And he comes back to knock Fundora out. Who did he get? We both thought he just got a gift decision.
Who, Lubin?
Yeah, Lubin did.
Yeah, he fought that on the Canelo undercard. What the hell's his name? I forgot. But, yeah, he got a gift decision. Go ahead.
I just think that the gift decision, Jesus Ramos,
mm-hmm. yep.
in September.
Yes.
A couple months ago. I just think that, look, he doesn't control that decision, okay? So we can't hold that against him per se. I don't think he won, but we can't hold a bad score, a bad, you know,
right.
bad cards against him. But to not take this fight, and we're just both just going to assume it was because he felt he wasn't getting paid enough, right? We have to assume that, no? Why would you turn down a unification fight other than money?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I'm saying, do you not want to say that because you don't want to? I feel like
no, I'm agreeing with you, but I'm saying there's no other reason why, you know,
right? I mean, yeah. And I feel like that's a horrible.
I think it's that, and I don't think he has a lot of confidence, Vinny.
Yeah, I mean he's 28.
Vinny, it's the type of sport. He's 28, and if he gets knocked out again, okay, or looks terrible again, it's going to be really bad for him.
And the Fedora loss was bad for him. You know, he kind of put the pieces back together.
Well, he fought Luis Arias, who's not very good. You know what I mean? And then he came back and looked terrible against Jesus Ramos.
Yeah.
So it's, and a lot of people are saying that he lost that fight. I'm one of them. We were in Atlantic City for the Hall of Fame weekend. We were watching at the sports book, and people were booing, which I do find weird, by the way, that people boo when it's not live. But anyway, it's like people who clap at the end of a movie.
Or when the plane lands.
Dude, that's like,
I want to fight everybody.
That's a peeve of mine. Pet peeve. We can get into pet peeves one day.
Unless you almost crashed, it's not acceptable.
It's never acceptable. I don't care if the thing does crash and you come out alive. You're not clapping.
I'm clapping if I almost croaked and then I didn't.
I didn't clap today when I almost tapped.
So
run that back in your head, by the way, me on the side of the road.
I am
running into the side of my car.
I'm going to. But yo, it gets muddied because Fedora and Lubin are trading knockdowns, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Fedora gets out of that with a win. He beats Carlos Ocampo, which is an okay win. Fights as Brian Mendoza and gets sparked out.
Yeah,
a year ago.
That was a year ago?
April 8th.
What?
I know.
He hasn't fought in a year.
Hasn't fought since, coming off a bad loss / knockout. Then Tim Zhu went on to destroy Mendoza.
Right.
So you're in this weird, mucky territory. Nonetheless, we didn't give predictions because it was so far away. But when the fight got made, we just said, we made offhand remarks, Keith Thurman's just going to get dropped.
Yeah.
You know? So this is a substitute that I don't consider this like, fuck. Now we just...
No, this is great. This is, like you said, this is a better fight. This is an actual junior middleweight, which I didn't think Fedora was going to fight at the weight again.
I didn't either.
But
I
anyway,
either. Here maybe we are. He wasn't, B, but when this is offered and you're in...
Well, no, he was scheduled to fight for the vacant WBC, so they had to make an exception to now make this a unifier. This whole thing, like, is awesome.
Yeah.
Now it's
the way it plays out.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yes.
He was going to fight for the vacant.
The vacant.
The vacant. Charlo's.
Yeah, the vacant WBC on the undercard.
Right.
So basically what they were doing was setting up that fight anyway, it appeared. And now they'll just expedite it.
Right. Right. What would have happened maybe in the fall is now just going to happen. And you cut Thurman out of there, which is great.
Yes.
Right.
Sorry, right. I'm a Keith Thurman not liker. I don't want to say hater.
There's these certain guys across all weight classes, across all countries where I go to you. Does Blank have any fans?
Right.
Like, are there Keith Thurman fans out there? Like, I remember, you know, when they had him in against cab drivers, and he was hitting on their, like, non-boxing people were, you know, early Twitter.
Right.
Were hotsy-totsy, you know what I mean? I'm like...
Well, yeah, he was Keith one-time Thurman. He, like, he beat Carlos Quintana, I remember. He looked good against him. And I was like, oh, this kid is good. And I said, a bit Dan Birmingham charge, like, he's a good trainer. You know, they got good guys come out of that Tampa area. All right, let's see what we got here. Yeah. And he just kind of, he had a great, the fight with Sean Porter was a good fight, fun fight. And then he just kind of like stagnated. And then they started putting the microphone in front of him more and more. And I was like, can someone just beat the shit out of this dude so I don't have to hear him?
Yes.
He's so obnoxious. And it's just forced. His bravado seems forced to me.
That's what it is. I think there's unlikable guys and they get heat and it helps sells.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No one is buying that with Keith Thurman, whether he's playing the heel or the baby face.
Right.
You're a dork. And that crosses all. If you're a cool bad guy, you know what I'm saying?
Or there's
something about you.
I think he should have gone like the baby face role. And I probably would have liked him. You know what I mean? And
was like super humble and had the nerd lisp, I'd be like, this guy's kind of dorky. And that's kind of like endearing. But him, there is nothing, at least in America, worse than a dork that tries or thinks they're cool.
Right. And he, yeah. And I'm not even talking about like the weird, like he was playing like that, like didgeridoo thing. You know what I'm talking about? Play that big root.
Yeah, and then the ponytail to this haircut.
I told you.
His hairline is to the middle of his head.
Right.
My man, get a baldy, stop talking.
Do something.
Fight or go away.
I like it.
Yeah, that Rolly Romero, Isak Cruz might be funny. Something funny might happen in that fight.
I actually just... really hope that Pitbull kid beats the balls off of Rolly. Like
I can't see that not happening, but yes, I agree. Let's move on.
Okay.
Jose Ramirez and Virgil Ortiz will reportedly return on the same card. Mm-hmm. We both read it and I was like, wait, they're fighting each other? And you were like, no, reread it.
I did that on purpose because when I first saw it, I went, oh shit, Ramirez moved up two weight divisions, and then this is a really poorly written headline.
But I wrote you like, this is a weird fight, and you're like, reread it. And I was like, this is terrible.
It's terrible. So,
they're both coming back same night, not against each other, in Fresno,
Golden Boy.
Right. It's claimed that Ramirez could face Sergey Lipinets or Rancis Barthelemy. I'm okay with either of them.
Either one. Yeah, I like it.
Moving on, our guy Subreo Mateas is versus Liam Paro is now being finalized for Mateas' IBF super lightweight world title on June 15th in Puerto Rico.
I like it.
Liam Paro's from Australia. He's undefeated, 24-0, 15 knockouts. We don't know how real that record is of every sport. Boxing is the only one where your record can conceivably be deceptive.
Sure.
You know, if you're 16-0 in football, you're absolutely a good team. Most likely you're the best team, but you're absolutely a good team. It's real.
That's
the guy
who kicked Montana Love's ass.
He beat dog shit down his leg, but he's the only name on the resume that I know. There was some, you know, a little bit of inactivity there, which you and I never like. There was a split decision win over Yomar Alamo. So I don't know, but as far as Subriel not being able yet to get guys in there, I'm not mad at this. Are you?
Yeah. No, I like it.
In terms of him not being able to get.
No, it's fine. It's a solid top 20 guy. Who's got a bit of power, you know? Like I don't hate it. I like it. Gets him back in. Gets us.
Yeah.
Gets eyes on him.
Yes, which you and I want people to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Because not a lot of people have. Next up, Eddie Hearn has stated that there will be no decision on Anthony Joshua's next fight until after Fury Usyk on May 18th. Hearn remains hopeful that His Excellency Turki Alashik will want to make Fury versus AJ next if Fury wins. Vacant IBF heavyweight world title shot versus Filip Hrgović also possible for AJ if Fury and Usyk rematch happens. From our understanding, that's locked.
Yeah,
unless it's an absolute beatdown, the way that Spence and Bud was, in which we said out. Other people said they're going to rematch. You and I said no. This guy got beat. He got shellacked. I don't care about rematch clauses. I don't care about Spence on Twitter saying that we're running it back. It's not happening. So unless that type of drubbing happens, either way, by Usyk does it to Fury or Fury does it to Usyk, to me, it seems like no matter what happens to certain guys in the UK, it's a big fight in the UK for certain guys. That's how it seems to be. A kid wrote me semi-recently, when we were talking about fighters over here being, I mean, the biggest fighters here from America, still not being household names, and how we were questioning, like, how is Conor Benn and, Chris Eubank Jr. still being even discussed? And a kid wrote me to be like, no, all of those guys are household names here. All of them. So, the drop on this, from what we've seen, we have no other choice but to take this as fact. There's no scenario that goes down where AJ Tyson Fury isn't a big fight over there.
Right.
They both lose their next fights, and I think
I think it's a big fight.
With the paydays, do you see Usyk hanging around if he beats him up and then? Who else is hanging around, you know?
If Usyk beats up Fury, you're saying?
Yes.
I don't think Fury takes the rematch if Usyk beats his ass.
I don't either. And then does Usyk retire?
No. I think Usyk reigns supreme. Mm-hmm. Will take on all I think he fights AJ for a third time.
Really?
Yes.
I mean,
for millions and millions.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Eddie. The bag is
Eddie. I need more money, Eddie.
Yes. All right, B. Here we go. Here we go.
What's up?
Josh Taylor versus Jack Catterall match has reportedly been postponed and will not take place on April 27th because Taylor has suffered an injury. Rescheduled for May 25th in Leeds. Don't believe it.
Don't believe the hype. I don't know.
He's
cooked, bro.
Months long discussions about what we think of Catterall. This is just proving us right.
You mean Taylor?
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah, I think
Josh Taylor.
Yeah, I think two things I think are going to happen. The fight will eventually happen, and I think Taylor's going to get made to look terrible.
Yeah, agreed.
And I think he'll get retired.
Agreed. So that three-fight plan we spoke about, we already said we don't believe it's going to get past fight.
They can't even make one fight.
We didn't believe it would get past fight one.
Bro, he's not even making one fight, Ben.
I know.
This is, what are we doing here?
I know.
Little counting his chickens before they're hatched.
Yep. WBC President Mauricio Suleiman has declared that he wants to trial a new judging system with six judges for Tyson Fury, Alexander Usyk on May 18th. Suleiman says he's distributed an emergency petition to the WBA, IBF, and WBO, plus all parties involved in the undisputed fight to try and make it happen. So now you just want it to be three cards for Fury and three cards for Usyk.
What the fuck is the point of A? Oh, I know why. Because if I can, it's a, I up the pool of corruption. I can't corrupt these three judges, you know what? Maybe I can corrupt some of those three judges or pay someone off.
You're giving me more wiggle room to put some Scott Hall in the breast pocket.
Come on. They're really fucking scared, dude, that Fury's gonna lose this thing.
They're really scared.
They're really fucking scared Fury's gonna fucking lose this thing.
And it becomes a thing. When someone's mouth is that big, it continues to be.
Right.
You know,
absolutely. And I think that they realize that if Fury gets knocked off, he's the WBC champ, he commands a huge purse.
Yeah.
Again, all the things you pointed out two segments ago in news, you know what I mean? That could lead into AJ. It's all big UK paydays that just fucking dry up.
Yep.
If Usyk wins, and Usyk won't bring that back to this hemisphere, he'll just continue to fight in Saudi. Probably, I don't think he'll come back. Why would Usyk fight in the States or the UK if he has it? You got to go get him over there.
Of course.
Yeah, where he's going to get maximum money.
Of course.
So, yeah, I think they're nervous over there.
They are. Lastly. Shakur Stevenson has welcomed a potential fight versus William Zepeda next. Bob Arum has welcomed the possibility. Let Oscar De La Hoya call me, and I'll get that fight done for July. We have a date, July 6th. Prudential Center is reserved. We certainly would consider it. I mean, I'm all in on that. You know, you want to talk.
Fuck yeah. I mean, that bleeds into the next segment, but. That's a beautiful fucking fight. That's styles make fights. It doesn't. I'll get into my thoughts on William Zepeda next. But real quick, I just wanted to touch on one of the things that was floating around social media, and I even bit on it. And I didn't report on it last week. It's being ruled out as a possibility. So if anybody heard anything, it's been kiboshed. Bud Eubank Jr. Did you see that? They just said
I did.
That's not going to happen next. Likely won't happen at all. I would have welcomed it if Bud is thinking about moving up. I don't understand, you know, what people were angry about it.
If you're moving up a couple divisions, I'm never angry at fighting
a top guy five like guy.
That, you
he's,
know,
he's ranked. He's top five middleweight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. So. What would someone be mad? I mean, if the anger is based in the fact that Eubank isn't a draw here, that it's not a quote-unquote big fight, I guess there's validity to that.
I don't know. It's a pretty I think it's a big fight, and it's a worldwide sport. You and I talk about it all the time, so
I want to see the people fight, so I was good with it, right, too. That's the other thing.
People are mad that he's not fighting Boots. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But I think that Boots management is a fucking nightmare right now, and I don't know. I don't like. Have we heard he was supposed to fight Cody Crawley? Right? They're supposed to make that.
That's the last look. We reported that he was in litigation and because nothing was happening, and then
we had heard rumors that they ordered Cody Crawley, and I heard he's in bad terms with his management team.
Okay, that so, I didn't know.
Yeah, that his management is a mess. So these guys are both stuck with bad management. And, you know, I don't know. Anyway, just wanted to put that out there that was not news anymore. Did you watch the cards this weekend, my friend?
This Joe Joyce. Look,
What is your, historically, what would happen to Joe Joyce even in the last 25 years of heavyweight division? I think he would get flat backed by most of the top 10 heavies.
There's guys that kind of floated around. We've joked about certain names. You know, the guys of the 80s, 90s, 2000s, you know, I think, you know, I think they would all beat this guy up.
Bad. And then even we would say, obviously, like the Klitschko brothers would just tee off on him. It wouldn't be close, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Lennox, obviously. I mean, we're talking all-time greats. I mean, yeah, this guy.
I think a Tommy Morrison would batter him.
Yeah.
I think a Ray Mercer would batter him. I think a Burt Cooper would beat him.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Guys like that. Just those tough guys, you know, maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, imagine a David Tua, a prime Tua.
The only thing I think about Tua is he's so short and this guy's so big. He's 6'6". But Tua beat big guys, so.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This was. So
we basically said, look, you got to get Cash Ali out here and around.
Cash Ali is like a club fighter. What's he ranked, Vin?
Oh, I have no idea. He can't even be ranked.
No, it was awful.
Oh, just I mean, there's not much to say and not much
He was very heavy.
I think it's the heaviest he ever was in his career.
Heaviest he ever was. His balance was shit.
Heavy of his career coming off back-to-back knockout losses. You would think you'd see a chiseled, reinvigorated, I want my spot back. Whatever spot that was,
right. I don't get.
An undefeated heavyweight.
After the fight, he's like, I'm ready to take on anybody in the division. But why do you deserve that?
I mean, deserving it and saying it, which one is more offensive? Can you deserve it or saying it out loud?
Well, the most offensive thing is that I had to read that somewhere. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I read that on Boxing Scene. I read that on Ring. And I was like, I guess they're just quoting them. And I guess it's a heavyweight fight that was on TV. Is that it? That's... So that was a dayside fight.
It's where we get wrapped up, man, in the ignorant American thing. And it's like, those guys are sports stars over there,
I guess.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. It was pretty funny. He put a tweet out afterwards in the comments underneath it from the British fans were like, you went 10 rounds with Cash Ali.
I saw him getting murdered.
Yeah, like,
I put this joke, my tweet, the only words were, this Joe Joyce is the pits. And even the UK fans were like, oh,
it was really bad. And the Cash Ali guy didn't engage at all either. The whole fight was bad. It was a terrible fucking fight.
He was running. Joyce doesn't have the skills to cut the ring off and just batter him and get him out of there. It was bad.
Yeah. Joe Joyce reminds me of, remember that the monster in Bugs Bunny?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's what Joe Joyce reminds me of.
We could be talking about the Wilder thing that I swore on, where, like, if this guy comes back, and this guy comes back against a real guy, you know, I don't know. I don't know that I'm there yet. I have to see when
I'm there. I think he's food for anybody at that weight that's got halfway decent skills.
Yeah, I'm not. I can't disagree there. I'm just curious if they'll put him in with another bump after that shit performance, you know?
Yeah.
Callum Walsh, Doran, Yelesinov. I didn't watch this.
I watched it. Yeah.
So you got to speak on it.
All right. It went 9 rounds. They stopped it. Walsh couldn't get him out of there. I actually thought he'd knock him out. This is a serviceable guy, but I think he's like 37. Yelesinov. This was the UFC Fight Pass card that was at the Madison Square Garden, the theater at the Garden.
Yeah, this was the Friday night fight, right? How did you watch it? Illegally?
What? Mm-hmm. Why are you dropping dimes on this fucking thing, man? Mm-hmm. What are you telling people, you know what I'm saying? I got a guy, what a guy, you know? Hit me off with a little stream.
If one wanted to watch this, how would one have watched this on Friday?
One would have subscribed to UFC Fight Pass, and you get this. So they're doing boxing. UFC.
Now Dana White. When you originally told me that,
yeah,
I didn't dig for more info.
Mm-hmm.
Dana White under the UFC banner? Or is there some other?
It's just a general, like, Dana White has a boxing promoter's license. So they're doing like what's called like UFC Fight Pass, and you get different types of fights. So you'll get they're going to do some boxing. And this is the kid that's like going to want that they're trying to make like the face of UFC Fight Pass.
Okay.
So he's done wrestling because it's UFC and WWE are, you know, they're whatever the, what is the name of
that new conglomerate? Yeah.
The conglomerate.
The Rock is on the board. TKO.
Okay. So that's
TKO Sports.
That's this.
Okay. So you would say, well, Colin Walsh is fighting via TKO Sports, not UFC, which is ultimate.
Not UFC. No, right. Not UFC, but it
but it's this via would, this UFC pass. It's
a Fight Pass. Yeah. So which is like the app, you know, that's like ESPN Plus or DAZN or anything else.
Right. But we get boxing with that. I'm not paying for UFC fights to get one every now.
Right.
How often is he going to do it? What's the long game? With UFC and WWE coming together to form this $9 billion company, if they want to get into boxing, they can get into boxing.
They're going to get into it.
You know?
Yeah, they're gonna dip
their hoof. You know,
their hoof into it. So this is
how does this kid look? Yeah, because
he's a sharp puncher. He's very flashy. You know, you get these the UK guys are very, you know, they definitely have a lot of showmanship about them.
Yeah.
Again, this was a TKO stoppage. So, you know,
did the guy just not answer the bell?
The referee waved it off.
Okay.
Yeah. But again, it's, you know, he's already got another fight scheduled in June, so he's coming right back.
Are you excited to see him? It's I mean,
yeah. Sure. You know? Yeah.
That's not very convincing.
Well, the guy's ranked like 250th in the world that he fought. So, I'm not, you know what I mean? Like I'm kind of, I don't know, man. How do I explain this? I'd rather see him in, you know, with a top 50 guy. It'll get me more excited. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
So, I mean, this is just the face that they're putting on. This is Dana White. Apparently saw him training. He's a Freddie Roach charge. So he lives in, I believe he lives in LA, trains out of LA. So all the LA guys, press was out in New York for this. So they're treating it as such. Again, a lot of promotion behind this kid. He's doing crossover events with WWE. So, you know, you and Billy are big wrestling fans. So he's, I saw him carrying out some belts at a wrestling event. I don't know if he's been in the ring, like, you know, they'll do that boxing thing where they'll.
Yeah, they just had him at a Raw or a SmackDown.
Yeah.
He was like holding belts or whatever.
But he wasn't like punching people out or anything. I like when they do that.
He punched the Rock. Yeah, when they bring a dude in.
Yeah. And
Floyd did it,
whatever his strength is, mm-hmm. you know, they'll start, you know, doing something like that. I kind of like that.
I like when Floyd did it. The Big Show was like, "Yo, light me up."
Yeah,
like,
and Floyd broke his nose, right?
Yep.
I like that kind of thing. It's funny to me. You do see the separation between how talented wrestlers are in terms of being like method actors, mm-hmm. right? So how good they sell a bump, you know, when a boxer comes in and tries to like throw. Boxers throw real punches for a living, but can't throw a fake punch on TV.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So it's
when Mike was there at WWF ages ago, and then he did something at AEW, you could tell he's like, well, I guess I'm just going to light this motherfucker
yeah,
up.
Right.
And you're like, yo, Mike, you can't do that. These are civilians, man, to you.
Right. Yeah. But the thing is, like, these guys are, you know, for in their world, they're just good actors, you know?
Yeah, and they'll sell.
You see these bad, real fighters are not great actors.
And right.
So I like seeing the guys out of their element.
They figured Fury was made for WWE and it went over like a lead balloon.
Yeah, it was terrible, right?
Yeah, it was bad, you know? And you think, oh, this guy's all charisma, all character. And like you said, you see, like, whether you watch it or not, whether you think it's dumb or not, it's absolutely a skill
to be
a wrestler, because you're it's method acting. You're being something else that you're not.
Right.
You're
right.
acting, you know, and Fury's cutting promos that in his mind are brilliant. And you can hear a, you know, a pin drop.
Yeah, pin drop, right. Yeah, it's God, sorry.
No, no, I was just I didn't watch it. I'm not doing the UFC pass. No MMA is getting a penny of mine, whether it's directly or indirectly. So I don't know if he's gonna stay fighting on those things. I don't know when or how I'm gonna see him fight. Like you said, he's coming back in June. Let's see him fight, you know, at least a tough guy. A guy who you know, loses to better opponents, but maybe we'll give you some rounds.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know, he's a kid.
I concur. But again,
let's move on to the
fast hands, flashy guy, had some pop, but you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens when the competition steps up. So
yeah, as always. Let's talk about the fight of the weekend. Our guy,
fight of the weekend, fight of the week, fight of the this guy, the shrimp. I love shrimp. El Camarón.
William Zapata versus Maxie Hughes, who you and I both thought beat George Kambosos and got hosed because he did. Boxing did the right thing and gave him a fight.
A fight.
It's not one that he's. I don't think that looking back, he wanted it. I don't know what the paydays were like, but this guy.
To the loser goes the spoils, I guess. Right, Christ.
I don't know.
Look, this William Zapata.
He's a hornet's nest, man. And when that bell rings to start each round, that's you poking a hornet's nest.
And this kid. The stat line, dude, I sent you the thing. He averages 99 punches a round.
Yeah.
His connect rate is over 60% or something like that. 40% on power punches. I mean, this is, and everything, I know he jabs, but it all just feels like work to the body, work upstairs, hook, 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 uppercut, uppercut, uppercut. I mean,
this, look, obviously, if we say something on the fly on this show, on the fly is on the fly. And you know, by definition, that's what it means. But I have to say this without having a lot of time to think. This might be the quickest I ever saw someone look like they had gone 15 rounds. But he looked destroyed in the end of the second. Yes,
and he looked good in the first round. He had a strong first round.
I know Maxie Hughes is good. We both knew he was good, and he was a cutie, and we just didn't think he had enough mustard on his shots. Or, look, man, footwork and boxing ability, is at the cornerstone of what makes a great fighter until a guy like this is coming at you.
Bro.
There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to run. There's no way to hide. You can do little. You can play games with him if you want, like Floyd would, and get a huge ring. It's not going to matter. I think how we look at him on this show is being critiqued by the internet boxing community.
Okay.
The what I see is that we hold him in too high regard, and I don't think we do. I think he's the real fucking.
He's the real deal. Yeah.
There is no one that you can name at 35 that I'd be like, oh no, he's getting whooped by him. The talk earlier, in news of Zapata
and Shakur.
Shakur, which we love, just immediate. He's food for Shakur. Shakur destroys him. Da 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 da. And look, man, everyone who listens to this show regularly knows that I flip-flopped. I think I'm up to three times on Shakur.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, the first maybe 50 episodes of the show, I was like, yo, he's a talented kid who I don't see being super special. And then he had two great, not good, great performances in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, he's the real deal. I don't believe he ever cracked our top 10. Did he?
Shakur?
Or did someone drop off and we...
Yeah, Shakur was in our top 10. Mm-hmm.
So that would be based on those two performances in a row. One was Oscar Valdez. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Offhand, I don't remember the one that was before or after it, where we both thought he looked brilliant. Our most recent, it was updated January 15th, okay? Almost 2 months exactly, we have him at number 10.
10.
On our top 10 pound for pound list. Someone got beaten and we both agreed. No. I know what it was. It was the inactivity of Lomachenko.
Yeah, we had
to drop it. We said, look, we don't do the play favorites thing here. We have a thing. It's inactivity of one here. Mm-hmm. And we did the math. And by the time Lomachenko is going to fight again, he will have been out a year. So we said he can't be up there. And that's how Shakur eked into our top 10.
I want to read this CompuBox stat.
Okay.
William Zepeda landed 40 of 102 punches per round in his fourth round KO win over Maxi Hughes. He landed 26 of 57 power shots as well and vaults into the number one spot amongst CompuBox categorical leaders in total punches landed or thrown.
You're also landing 50% of your power punches. A maniac.
Right. He's also number one in jabs thrown, which I didn't realize. I didn't realize he throws that many because there's so much other stuff going on. I guess I missed the jabs. Okay, so punches per round, it's 101.8. That's what he averages. Chocolatito is number two at 87 punches per round, and Brandon Figueroa at 86.4. Now, both Chocolatito and Brandon Figueroa, we've commented on this show, throw an incredible amount of punches. It's we say nonstop punching.
Nonstop. This guy throwing 13 more around.
14, almost 15 more around.
I'd say 15 more around. There's heavyweights who average that many punches per round. The space between.
Yeah, yes, right.
The space between Chocolatito.
He lands 33.8 punches per round. Okay. So you're getting punched 34 times around by Zepeda, and he throws 41.2 jabs around.
I don't know what you do with this, with Zepeda. Guys, another brilliant performance. Who brought up, it may have been Sergio. He may have said, are we looking at the next Golovkin, where just no one's going to get in there with him? Not stylist.
Oh.
Not comparing them how they fought. It's certainly okay. Golovkin, you know, jab, 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 waiting for the bomb, you know? Mm-hmm. Was not comparing them at all stylistically. But in regards to risk versus reward, similarly, they both speak about the same amount of English, which is like, thank you. Right. Very much. I want that, you know, it's very. So. Is there money in him? Risk and reward. Look, if Shakur Stevenson takes that fight. Maximum respect, you know why they will take it if they take it. And that is, this guy is a simple come forward Mexican. He's easy to pick apart. And I think that's a very dangerous view.
You're going to have to be for 12. If you're going to have to be on your back foot for 12 rounds straight, moving laterally and being more accurate than you've ever been. Because Zepeda does get hit.
You have to punch with him to hit him, though.
Yeah. So it's either that or the other style that would sort of mesh with a Zepeda would be another swarmer who puts who puts his head in Zepeda's chest and goes to work on Zepeda. So it's what I was going to say before was the beauty of a William Zepeda is you're never going to see him in a bad fight.
No.
Ever. Ever. And it's similar to Subriel Matias, who we mentioned earlier on the show. Another guy who, by the way, he's third in punches landed at 26. So it's Zepeda, Choclatito, Subriel Matias, as far as CompuBox is concerned, 1, 2, and 3 in punches landed. Zepeda lands 34 punches around. The next closest guy at 30 and a half is Choclatito, and 26.1 for Subriel Matias, which again, Matias and Choclatito, as we stay in the show, it's like, God, they really beat their guy up every round, you know, tons of offense. Where this William Zepeda is even more. This is more offense, more punches, more swarming, an incredible amount of stamina. The motor on this guy's unbelievable.
Guys, Maxie Hughes is good, by the way, too. If you watch this and hadn't seen him before.
Yeah. He's a serviceable
very competent
guy.
Fighter.
Yeah, no power, unfortunately. So that's not going to keep Zepeda off.
Well, our predictions, you hit it right. It was stopped in between rounds, so it would be the fifth. This mush thinks he's all of a sudden.
I'm the best handicapper in boxing.
After 2 weeks. I said the sixth.
You're getting upset that I'm right.
You're a little. I don't like the arrogance is what it is.
I know you don't.
Yeah.
But if it's the other way around, all I get is bombarded with texts.
Look, let me tell you something. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
Listen, this ain't a case of a broken clock being right twice a day.
You also are hotsy totsy to brag. Like I picked Maxie Hughes or I said 10th round or something.
Listen,
I picked the sixth, you picked the fifth. What do you got going on here?
Who's right? And I said it's hand grenades and horseshoes with you. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? That's it. I'm spot on, and you're kind of close.
Right.
Yeah. Looks like the wind's blowing in another direction. All right?
Mm-hmm. No, it is not.
Looks like the wind's blowing in another direction. And
the only reason I picked six is I was going to go, I was going to pick five, but he's such a mush. I better lock myself in somewhere else.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's so the truth. That's the God's honest truth.
This is what you do now. You just pick different instead of just going with what you know. Then you know what? Why would anyone listen to your boxing stuff if you're
because
just
because you're a mush
me?
And I'm trying
but
to
But I'm proving I'm not. I think you're a mush.
There's 70 shows. Right. 70
proven.
Shows. Two of them.
What are you,
right.
Air quotings over there, fucking proven. Peanut gallery? You jump
proven.
In just
proven.
For this, you fucking
right
bum.
Twice in a row.
Huh?
You got a long way to go to prove that.
That's right.
You got a long way to go to find your dick, all right? So get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I'm surprised at a couple things, man. Again.
As he disappears back into his fucking, his headshot.
Uh-huh.
This fucking
he's
guy.
Still he's
I'm trying to figure out if Patrick's that was a, week. If there was actually maybe a compliment. I don't know. A long way to go to find my dick. I got to think about that.
No, it means that it's hard to find.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, man.
Think about that.
I want to reiterate.
Nestle.
I don't think I've seen someone busted up this quickly. Certainly not in a long time.
Bro, he looked like he got mugged in a back alley.
To look like you went 15 by the third. And I'm just going, there.
Can I just make a comment what Zepeda looked like? And please. It's a sick. He looked like he had like defensive wounds on him, if that makes sense. Like when you're
right.
assaulting someone and someone's scratches on him of the person he's murdering. That's what it looked like. So like when the investigators show up at his house and he opens the door like halfway and like, why do you have scratches all over your chest? You know what I mean? And your hands are all bloody. And it's like, oh, because I just murdered a whole bunch of people. This guy's a fucking killer, bro.
He's a killer. I think I think people are wrong on both accounts. Our praise of him being too much, I think they're wrong about that. And the absolute bombardment of tweets I got about him being food for Shakur. Shakur has certainly never seen anything like Zepeda in the amateurs or pros.
Dude, that's such a good fight. just make the fucking fight. You know what I mean? Like, I just want that fight to speak for itself. Whoever wins, whoever loses, that's
look, when
the
everyone
kind of fight
involved
we want to
say. Said, let's do it, it right. sort of seemed like within a day, everyone was like, yes, let's do
yeah.
it. And Zepeda afterwards is like, I want all the big fights. So that's what you're right. supposed to say. They go to Oscar. He says all the right things, which he
right.
always does when it comes to fighting.
Right.
Don't write us saying you hate Oscar outside of the ring or as a promoter. We don't care about any of that. We care that he makes good fights and tries to make good fights, you know?
We want the best fights. We want the best fights.
He said it.
He's so weird looking now.
He is. And then Aram said what he said that I read in the news. They're ready for July.
We'll get back to fight in July.
He's trailing off and shit at this point.
It's just fucking
July 6th at the
sounds like Larry Flint.
He does. Post shooting.
Post yeah, like Larry Flint when he was on Howard.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck that. July 6th. I'm in. Woo! What is it? That gives both guys plenty of time.
That's so a lot of fun, bro.
That means Shakur is fighting on July 6th at Prudential. So, bro, this guy's here.
Right.
What are they waiting for? They
said they're going to do it at the Prudential Center?
Yeah, Prudential Center July 6th. Let's go.
I'm there. What do you mean?
This Billy Betts is coming, too.
He won't go.
Yeah, he will.
That's extended 4th of July weekend. I can't go to that.
It's true. He probably does have some dumb.
He definitely has fucking American flag shorts and he's shooting fucking bottle rockets out of his ass. 100%.
I didn't think
it's
about that.
July 6th.
Kubi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of a what that puts the 4th of July
on a Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh, it rots when it's on a Thursday.
Oh, I'm definitely in.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. 4th of July's Thursday, and you keep it going by Saturday.
Yeah, he'll keep it going. Imagine him by the time we get there.
It starts Wednesday.
Right.
And you don't end till Sunday night.
So you think that right. what they're gonna give people Friday off, or they're gonna make people go back to work?
Who's like, making me do shit? I don't yeah.
Both of you.
No, not you. I'm saying people. Goals. Oh, I'm not gonna work. I'm just saying. I'm
who
asking
cares about
William.
That?
I don't care about those people.
Right.
Okay. All right. Jeez. I care about all people. It's called compassion, Billy.
Is it?
You know? Try it.
Meh.
Meh.
I'm wondering if
he said meh.
I'm with him.
He said, "Well, you're not you have no compassion."
That's not true. I don't know that Williams Apea is not the best guy at 135 right now.
I'm not going to argue.
That.
I'm not going to argue.
I don't know
that.
I'm not calling him that.
Right.
But I don't know that he's not. You know?
Wow. He's fun to watch, bro. I mean, guys, enjoy this guy. Tune into this guy.
I think we said our long-running joke, it's typically with the Cubans, but this guy both looks like he could be our uncle, and he's like 27, which is another thing.
My wife watched the fights with me, mm-hmm. and she goes, "Ooh, who's this old guy?"
Yeah.
And I went, "He's only 27. She was like, "What?" And I said, "Yeah, it's a hard 27." But
who did Raleigh fight? Who was giving him work? And they stopped it. That guy
is old.
Yeah, but not as old as he looks. He had a rough paper route. He looks like he's like the 60-year-old homie in the bar.
He's
talking to himself.
I mean, you know that? He's aging like cottage cheese in the trunk of an old mobile in August. Yeah, it's not good, bro. All right, did you want to talk about a fight this weekend?
Well,
look,
this kid Dalton Smith, they're high on him in the UK, undefeated prospect. We spoke about the kid Callum Walsh, and we were like, I just want to see him in there with live guys.
Right.
Jose Zepeda is that. We spoke off air. He's at the tail end of his career. He just lost to Richardson Hitchens. He's got a good chin. Regis Prograis stopped him, but that's it. He lost to Jose Ramirez, who's a solid fighter. He beat Sniper Pedraza when Pedraza was still beating guys a little bit. Ivan Baranchuk fight that was in the bubble where they just knocked each other cold, like three times each.
Right.
And he ended up winning. He beat Hank Lundy, and our favorite win of his is the Josue Vargas fight. That kid and his brother talking.
Yeah.
Wild cutting. You got Zepeda holding up a Mexican flag. Josue Vargas jumping in front of him,
and he got knocked out in like 3 seconds.
And they cut to the brother crying and having a breakdown.
Yeah, it's like a meme now, right? Or like a GIF.
Sweet, sweet, sweet victory. So look, Zepeda can fight a little bit. He's beaten real guys. He's tough. His chin has been sturdy, with the exception of Prograis, who at that time, you know, was when we were huge on Ruguru.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped him very late in the fight. Yeah. It might have been the 12th if it wasn't the 11th. What do you think, Bate? Is this kid the real deal? Does he stop him, or is this an upset special?
No, I think he's going to – I don't know if he's
Guys, again, this isn't a huge fight, but I'm going to be watching. I don't think he cares.
Dalton Smith's got some pop. He's got some size for the weight. He's not that young. I mean, he's 27, but I guess now it's
how many fights does he have? 14,
15? 15.
Yeah, he's got to get moving.
Right.
And I like this fight for him. If you're saying someone's got to get moving, then I like this fight.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... I think Zepeda can survive. I don't think Smith's going to stop him. You think he's going to stop him?
Is this a 10-round fight? Does it say there? Or no?
I'm thinking it's a 10-rounder.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I think
it's a 12-rounder.
Wow, so it's either an eliminator.
Let me see. Yeah, I think it's like the WBC.
Yeah.
It is the silver. I was just going to say the WBC silver. Man. But I mean, that's like, you could say any fight is a WBC silver, and you have a 90% chance of being right that the WBC has somehow sanctioned this and given it some validity by giving it a silver belt.
Agreed.
So, yeah, so it's for the vacant interim WBC tangerine belt.
Yeah, it's getting so ridiculous.
This is the nickel cadmium belt.
Something weird in me wants to say upset special.
I want to ride with this. I want Billy to throw his life savings on it. and the look he gives me. Look at
Can we even get lines on Dalton Smith, Jose Zepeda?
Look at him. He's on FanDuel right now, and he's giving me the finger. Look at him. Look at him scrolling with his middle finger up.
He's muted, so his.
That's the finger I use to type. Don't take offense.
Do you really type with your middle finger?
I do.
What a weirdo.
Remember that kid in like first grade that would point with his middle finger everywhere? You know, like that, like he couldn't get the coordination. He's this one, be like,
Yeah, I fucking say something was wrong with him.
Right. And now he's your partner in crime over there. He's mm-hmm. Billy. Mm-hmm. Look at him scrolling with his middle finger.
I know. What a weirdo.
When I do like my debit card, I basically like give the cashier the finger and then
Of course.
Dalton Smith is minus 290.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
is there a over under on it?
Is there an
over under? I don't see one on here.
You know, Bill, we looked last week while you were absent, and we couldn't fight like on big fights. I'm not seeing.
We loved the under, Billy, last week, and he beat the dog shit out of him. So you would have won. I don't know if it's a FanDuel thing.
Or, yeah.
I know someone who hits me up about every fight because they're a degenerate, and he always finds.
He always finds it?
Uh-huh.
Maybe we're just bad gamblers. I don't know.
Maybe someone wants to sponsor us that has the best boxing app.
Yeah.
For gambling.
Right. Hello? Sponsors.
Stop at keotbboxing@gmail.com.
hit me up.
Yeah, I think
hit me up with some checks. We need some money.
I think Dalton Smith Zapata's quarter is going to stop it late, or it's going to go the distance and be one-sided. That's my prediction.
I think Zapata is going to look old, and it's going to be a one-sided distance. I think he's going to survive.
Okay. Yeah, I don't take umbrage with that, and don't have much, there's not much there to argue with.
That's on DAZN, and it's where, Vin?
It's over there, so it's going to be in the afternoon here. Mm. I think if we had an over under, which we do not, I would take the under. I mean, I would take the over.
Yeah,
but I won't be shocked if it's late in the fight and Zapata's corner said, "Look, we've had enough. We gotcha. you know, there's nothing you can do here to win this." Right. You know, you haven't shown us that you can hurt him, et cetera, et cetera.
It looks like DraftKings has the over under.
What is it?
10.5.
Oh,
I like that over.
I like the over.
-290, 10.5.
Hey, DraftKings, hit us up, KOTB box.
I wouldn't touch that 290, but I like that over.
All right,
Billy
Betts. So you've been betting on anything else, Bill?
That's for my own personal.
Wow,
this guy's really guarded. You know, me and Vinny, we spill our guts on this show.
Close, he likes keeping it close to the chest.
Well, you're the host of the show. I'm just a lowly guy behind, the
making money from
part time behind the scenes,
right?
Making money.
So what?
What?
Is there anything wrong with that? Everyone loves the segment. They want Billy to succeed.
I think that's true.
They're really rooting for the underdog here.
It's true. All right, is this the end of the show?
It's a real tortoise and the hare situation here.
It is.
Want me to read mail? We got a couple.
Yeah.
All right, AV, Julian, our friend checking in. Peace, gang. So I'm watching the Wednesday night fights on Pro Box. What is this I hear about the Axeman fighting on the 27th against Joseph Adorno? Just wanted to make sure you guys saw what I saw, and if that was not in fact a hallucinatory effects of a fever dream, then was Nicholas Walters waiting for Lomachenko to leave before he came back? Was he in a bathroom stall peeking over the partition? Is he gone? Jokes aside, I'm very much curious and excited to see how he looks on fight night.
So what up, Julian? When Julian said the Axeman, I said, you gotta be talking about Nicholas Walters, right?
Yes, sir.
Said his name. So if memory serves me correctly, B, we covered a comeback fight of his that never happened.
So I'm just going to go.
He was coming back. It never happened. So as of now, Lomachenko retired him. And
no, he's had two fights since then. Vinny.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. So he fought last February and he fought in November.
It just passed.
23. And
both in Jamaica.
The opponent's records are a mind-boggling. Where is Colesio Pescaito David Ruiz Santa Marta? I don't know where that is. Oh, Colombia. He fought in Colombia, and he fought in Colombia. Okay, so he fought a 19-16 guy, and then he fought a 9-21 guy.
Did he knock them both out?
He went the distance with the 19-16 guy. Mm-hmm. Who is ranked 721 in the division, according to BoxRec. And by the way, that fight was at 140. The next fight was technically at junior middleweight.
Yeah, this is all bad news.
Yeah.
All of this.
And the guy he fought is 9-22 with, ready, drum roll, who suffered 22 KOs. And that guy's ranked 1,600 out of 1,900 super welters.
So
that fight was in Cartagena. He's from Cartagena. And Walters knocked him out, excuse me, in two. But I also think that my younger daughter could probably knock that guy out. So he fights Joseph Adorno
on March 27th
in Plant City, Florida on Pro Box on a Wednesday. Tune into Pro Box. Get the app. It should be fun. They are headlining.
Joseph Adorno, they were, he's from Allentown. They were hyping him.
Yes.
At one point.
Yes.
So this is, guys, what we told you about Pro Box before. This could be an interesting fight.
Yeah, and it's fun if you guys want to tune in. Adorno lost to Edwin De Los Santos. He lost to Elvis Rodriguez.
Yeah.
But
they were pre-hype on him for a minute because...
Right, he drew with Jermaine Ortiz. He lost to Michelle Rivera. So at all of his step-up fights, he's either drawn or lost. Adorno, he's had a rough kind of pandemic.
Yes.
Post-pandemic. Pre-pandemic, yes, Vin. He was a prospect, hot to watch.
Yeah. Axman is 38 now and fighting two or three or four weight classes above where he was the Axeman. So...
Right, but
what does that say to me? Does it mean anything, the fight? No, so but I bet it'll be fun.
So he's getting down to lightweight, apparently, for this.
So he's going to 35 for this, but went up to his 47, 54. Which, another just bad. It's bad at that age.
Too. So, AV, you're not in a fever dream. You're not hallucinating. This is really happening. Wednesday. Well, we taped this on Monday. Our show comes out on Wednesday, next Wednesday. So a week and 2 days from as we speak, this will be on Pro Box. I'm telling you what, I'm tuning in for that.
Me too.
Pure curiosity. And it's a headliner. Should be fun. Get the app. Probably be on YouTube Live.
It will be.
Oh, it will be.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to read a couple pieces of this one, not the whole thing. This is from Darren Free. He's Scottish. I can't say his name. Frew. F-R-E.
His name is Darren Frew.
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 You're right, Billy.
He does ask for your Scottish accent at the end.
All I can do is say cheese eating surrender monkeys. And that's from Groundskeeper Willie.
I was just going to say, just do Groundskeeper Willie.
That's all I do is Groundskeeper Willie. He's a cheese eating surrender monkey. That's what he called the French.
Yeah.
Grease me up, woman.
What's up, guys? Darren here from Scotland. I'm a massive MMA and boxing fan, and I just want to salute the Master of Accents for acknowledging the difference in boxing ability and style due to the fact MMA fighters have to deal with punches, elbows, kicks, knees, and takedowns. Most boxing people don't acknowledge that. MMA fighters are spinning plates, and the top boxers are samurai sharp with the hands. MMA fighters have no chance at the top level in that regard. I hate to see these crossovers. All I want as a fan of both is the best of the best in each sport. That's it. He has a couple more there, but I'd like to hear your thoughts, guys.
Well, I appreciate that he's an MMA guy that sees it that way.
Most high level MMA guys see it that way.
I'm not going to say MMA people that I cross paths with, by that I mean via social media, basically believe all their guys will beat up every boxer on earth. And I've walked out of that room.
There you go.
It used to get me so mad that I would engage, and now I've just walked out of that room. It's just bad for my life.
You shouldn't participate then.
Darren goes on to say, thanks for the show, lads. I like that.
I like, listen
every time. Thanks to Pazzy Picks. And thanks to Pazzy Picks, his mental patient is now a part of my everyday vocabulary. And Brendan,
thank you.
Let me hear your best Scottish accent.
I did it.
Please again.
What, a Scottish accent?
Yes.
Do your French. What does he say?
He says
the French.
He goes, you're cheese eating surrender monkeys.
He's right about that. Too.
Yeah. It's fucking All my stuff is from The Simpsons. I just imitate The Simpsons.
I wish I could say I was my mine is like Homer and Larry David.
Yeah. One last quick one in here from Nick Powers. What's up, gentlemen? I'm Kirk, listening to episode 69 and just got to the part of Joshua and Ganu
69
where Vinny mentioned me.
69. Yeah, yeah.
This inspired me to ask you a question I always have fun discussing, but with a boxing twist. What are some moments in boxing history that you wish Twitter was around for because of the memeability and sheer hilarity it would ensue? The first low-hanging fruit moment that jumped out to me was Tyson biting Evander's ear off. But then I thought of others like Fan Man and the Bo Galata brawl. Looking forward to hearing your choices. And as always, thanks for the quality discussion and entertainment in each episode.
Well, Fan Man was such a boob because people, the thing about that is, it's true, and it's not talked about enough. D, remember he was like floating around all night?
Yeah.
Vegas,
and then he ran out of gas. Isn't that what happened or something?
I think so. And people forget he like flew into an MLB.
Yeah, he's done it. Did it before.
Yeah. Then he killed himself.
He's suicide. I was gonna say he's dead, right?
Yeah. Fan Man would have been a meme. I think you know, had Twitter been around, the Galata bow at MSG.
The Nutshot City, and then
yeah, because it went from that to a race riot. So it was,
yeah,
it was New York Polish fight, Brown Bill
Baptist. Yeah, it was Greenpoint versus Brownsville.
Yeah, a late 90s race war in New York. I think those pictures would have surfaced, and
there's so much.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that thing like a few moments later, you know that thing you say would be.
It's SpongeBob.
SpongeBob, yeah.
Yeah, would be. I suppose it would like you could.
That
do
That could be. That could be
Bernard and Tito.
Everyone that shit talked, you would use a few minutes later.
Yeah, so you could do that one. One that comes to mind is, I guess, Bernard and Tito. Where like they chase Bernard out of the thing after he throws the flag down, and then Bernard knocks Tito out.
Tito getting put on his back pockets when his eyes are crossed is not used enough today because the pictures do exist. It's 23 years ago, going on 20, you know.
But he
literally had his eyes crossed when he's sitting on his ass. That's when he brought back and made a meme, you know, because it's not one. The joy of that night.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia.
Yeah. I mean, I had really no dog in the fight. I think I was happy to see Bernard win. Can't even remember, it was so long ago. Was Twitter around for like Calzaghe and Bernard, Calzaghe and Roy? When did Twitter come out?
2010, 2011,
around. So it came out after.
When was that? Like 08, right? Like that little run?
Yep, 07, 08. Went up.
Yeah.
I would say, like, you could, in recent memory, again, like comeback fights. What's a good comeback fight? You could, you know, something, I don't know. Yeah, it would always be like bad press conference and then a guy getting bludgeoned would be, right? That would be the most obvious thing to me. I mean, Nick already named like the stuff that I could think of.
Yeah, the only other one would be the riot, the race riot at the Garden.
Well, he mentions it. He says the Bo Galata brawl.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I thought he just said Fan Man. Do that, son. Don't do that, son. Big George.
Big George, yeah.
Lou Duva's on a fucking stretcher at one point.
Yeah, and Lamps is like, I gotta find my daughter. That was the Bo Galata thing. Yeah,
He's on the next level, and George basically protected Larry.
Yeah,
and Lamps from dying, and then Lamps got up to the second or third tier.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like the what was it? Hagler, Alan Minter, right?
When he got pelted?
Yeah, and then, like, Vito Antuo Fermo was calling the fight, and they said he was, like, dropping hooligans.
Yeah.
The mosquito was just punching people out, protecting the guys in the booth.
Maybe maybe Zab Floyd.
Oh, dude, Zab Zoo.
Yeah, yeah.
Zab, yeah. Well, there's a lot of Zab moments.
There is. I feel like that did go around, not memes, but the internet was around.
Yeah.
Zoo clipped him on the point of the chin. Yeah,
like the infancy of trading.
Yes. Pictures or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good topic. Maybe we should come up with a little segment, put some stuff together that's not on the fly. See, we don't read these first, guys.
We're unprepared. So. We're idiots.
No, I kind of like it like that.
No, I agree.
Cuff. Anyway, all right. Where can they find you, Vin?
I am at Box Cutter Pazzi on Instagram. I am at Vinny_Paz on Twitter. JMTstore.com. The store is updated. The merch is updated. The spring collection is there. And new music coming soon. Announcements coming soon.
You can find me at TheKillerB24 on Twitter. And at @I_no_that_kid on Instagram. Write us at KEOTBboxing@gmail.com. Follow us at KEOTBboxing on Instagram, and check out the YouTube that we don't update. Thanks, Billy, at KEOTBpodcast on YouTube, and watch some old fucking clips that are insignificant now.
Guys, be willing to switch platforms for our recording, and maybe I can get some better, longer form videos. All right.
Excuses. Just produce. All right.
Agreed.
And you know, well, good luck finding your dick. Say goodnight.
Wow.
Say goodnight, Billy.
See ya.
All right. Peace.
Knock 'em out the box, pass. Knock 'em out. Knock 'em out the box, B. Knock 'em out.